I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. New York, this is Democracy Now!
Because of the war on Gaza, and as a sign of mourning of the thousands of civilians murdered there, the churches in the Holy Land decided to cancel all Christmas festivities.
Christmas has been canceled. We'll go to Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus Christ. Public Christmas festivities have been canceled in the occupied West Bank city as Israel intensifies its assault on Gaza and arrests thousands in the West Bank. We'll speak to a prominent Palestinian Christian theologian in Bethlehem. Then the United Nations Security Council is preparing to finally vote on a watered-down resolution on aid to Gaza after the United States repeatedly pushed for delays, even though the UN is warning more than 500,000 Palestinians, about a quarter of the population, face catastrophic hunger and starvation.
It's quite shameful and disgraceful, to be honest, from the American administration to look the other side, because they are complicit in this genocide. They have blood of Palestinian children on their hands, admittedly. This is, in fact, another Nakba with frequent serious signals of a genocide unfolding before our eyes.
Plus, we speak to Sonia Guajajara, Brazil's first ever Minister of Indigenous Peoples.
And so now we need to rebuild and strengthen public policies in health, education, fighting racism, and environmental racism, and being able to have more specific measures to reduce the emissions that are causing these changes.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Palestinian officials report 390 people have been killed and more than 700 injured in Israeli strikes on Gaza over the past 2 days. In one of the latest attacks, an Israeli air raid killed 4 people, including Bassem Qaben, the director of the Israeli-controlled Karam Abu Salem border crossing, who'd been working to bring desperately needed aid into Gaza. This comes as the United Nations reports more than 500,000 Palestinians are starving amidst Israel's siege and unrelenting bombardment of the Gaza Strip. Arif Hussein is chief economist with the UN's World Food Program.
In the world right now, there are about 130,000 people who are in catastrophic levels of hunger, meaning they are starving. In Gaza, more than 500,000. That is 4 times more. And that is what makes this totally unprecedented.
On Thursday, Hamas ruled out any more exchanges of captives until Israel agrees to a, quote, full cessation of aggression, unquote. Meanwhile, Israel has for the 7th time severed Gaza's phone and internet connections. The Committee to Protect Journalists reports more media workers have been killed in the first 10 weeks of Israel's assault on Gaza than have ever been killed in a single country over an entire year. CPJ said it was particularly concerned about a pattern of targeting journalists and their families by the Israeli military. On Thursday, scores of Al Jazeera staffers held protest at the network's headquarters in Doha, as well at the site of a school in Gaza, where camera operator Samer Abu Dhaka was killed in an Israeli drone strike. The same attack injured Al Jazeera Arabic's Gaza bureau chief, Wael Dadu, who lost his wife, his son, his daughter and grandson in another strike last month. A number of journalists rallied around him at the same time in Gaza as the journalists stood in the Doha studios and at the UN school that was bombed. outside Al Jazeera's office in Amman, Jordan, dozens more rallied. This is Al Jazeera correspondent Tamer Al-Smadi.
We stand here at Al Jazeera's office in Amman with a number of representatives from local, Arab, and international media institutions to highlight what Israel did in killing journalists, not just Samir Abu Dhaka, but more than 90 journalists in the Gaza Strip who were martyred due to Israeli airstrikes and deliberate targeting.
Jordan's foreign minister, Ayman Safadi, has warned the failure of the UN Security Council to pass a resolution on Gaza will mean dangerous double standards, as the U.S. delayed a vote on Thursday for the fourth day in a row. The U.S. delegation has indicated it would back a new resolution with watered-down language, which is set for a vote today. An earlier vetoed Security Council resolution called for a ceasefire. The U.S. vetoed that. Subsequent texts called for a suspension of hostilities and ultimately now two urgent steps to allow safe and unhindered delivery of aid to Gaza's civilians. A Human Rights Watch investigation has found Meta's content moderation policies are increasingly silencing voices in support of Palestine on its Facebook and Instagram social media platforms. The 51-page report released this week by Human Rights Watch documents more than 1,000 cases of Meta censorship in 60 countries in what HRW calls, quote, a pattern of undue removal and suppression of protected speech, including peaceful expression in support of Palestine and public debate about Palestinian human rights, unquote. Here in New York, thousands of protesters led by union organizers marched through the streets of Manhattan Thursday evening to demand a ceasefire and end to the influence of the powerful lobby group AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. Protesters marched past AIPAC's offices holding banners displaying the hundreds of thousands of dollars in campaign contributions received by New York lawmakers Chuck Schumer, Kirsten Gillibrand, and Hakeem Jeffries. Meanwhile, dozens of Israeli Jewish activists gathered for a vigil today outside the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, calling for a ceasefire and mourning the 20,000 Palestinians killed in Gaza. France is closing its embassy in Niger indefinitely amidst ongoing tensions between the two nations following the July military coup, which ousted President Mohamed Bazoum. The French ambassador to Niger left in September. Around 150 French troops are departing Niger today, the last of the soldiers to leave since the withdrawal started in October. But the military junta has not ordered U.S. military bases to close, where over 600 troops remain in the largely failed fight against jihadist groups. The Biden administration's approved two more permits for the Mountain Valley Pipeline, or MVP, which would carry 2 billion cubic feet of frack gas through Virginia and West Virginia. On Tuesday, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, granted MVP's request to increase its gas transportation rates after the company's estimated construction costs ballooned to over $6.6 billion, nearly double its initial projection. The FERC also granted MVP more time to complete work on a proposed 75-mile extension into North Carolina. Indigenous environmental activist Jason Crazy Bearkek said in a statement, quote, FERC's decision to extend MVP Southgate's Certificate of Public Need, which subjects our streams, rivers, and community members to seizing of land and irreversible pollution against our will with no proof of need, is a crime against us and future generations, they said. Millions of residents in Southern California remain under flood advisories today after some areas received a month's worth of precipitation in less than an hour in what meteorologists called a once-in-a-millennium rainfall event. This comes as forecasters are predicting a snowless Christmas holiday for parts of Canada and much of the U.S. East Coast and Midwest, with rain and record highs forecast in Chicago and Minneapolis. This month, climate scientists confirm 2023 will officially be the hottest year on record, with carbon dioxide levels in Earth's atmosphere at their highest level in about 14 million years. In Tacoma, Washington, a jury acquitted 3 police officers in the 2020 killing of 33-year-old Manuel Ellis, an unarmed black man. The officers violently arrested and beat him on the side of the road. He died while in handcuffs, telling officers, "I can't breathe." The Pierce County Medical Examiner ruled the cause of death was homicide from oxygen deprivation due to physical restraint. Following the verdict Thursday, community members took to the streets to demand justice for Manuel Ellis. This is organizer and incoming city council member Jamaica Scott.
We're not going to sit here and cry.
That part.
We're not going to pout. We're not going to let a not guilty verdict in a kangaroo court deter us from what we know to be righteous. To be true?
A Washington Post investigation has found a Republican-led crackdown on alleged voter fraud has overwhelmingly targeted Democrats and people of color. The Post found Black and Latinx people made up more than 70% of defendants accused of voter fraud in states including Florida, Texas, and Ohio, with registered Democrats more than 2.5 times as likely as Republicans to be prosecuted. So-called election integrity units in Virginia, Georgia, and Arkansas failed to obtain a single guilty verdict despite millions of dollars spent investigating alleged irregularities. In Michigan, former President Donald Trump personally pressured two Republican members of the Wayne County Board of Canvassers not to sign the certification of the 2020 presidential election after his loss to Joe Biden. That's according to the Detroit News, which reviewed audio of a November 17th, 2020 phone call in which Trump told the canvassers they'd look terrible if they signed the documents. After the call, the two officials tried but failed to rescind their votes to certify Biden's election win and filed legal affidavits saying they were pressured. Meanwhile, Trump's former attorney, Rudy Giuliani, filed for bankruptcy protection in New York Thursday, just a day after a federal judge ruled he must immediately pay the $148 million he owes to former Georgia election workers Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss. Giuliani was found liable in August for defaming the African-American mother and daughter after he falsely accused them of committing fraud as they tallied ballots in Atlanta during the 2020 election, leading to a torrent of death threats against them from Trump supporters. In his Chapter 11 filing, Giuliani listed debts of up to $500 million, including nearly $1 million in unpaid taxes. However, U.S. District Judge Beryl Howell remains skeptical, writing, quote, such claims of Giuliani's financial difficulties, no matter how many times repeated or publicly disseminated and duly reported in the media, are difficult to square with the fact that Giuliani affords a spokesperson who accompanied him daily to trial, the judge said. The Czech Republic will observe a national day of mourning Saturday as the country reels following its worst ever mass shooting. The gunman, believed to be 24-year-old student David Kozak, opened fire at Prague's Charles University Thursday, killing at least 14 people and wounding 25 others. He was confirmed dead at the scene. The shooter is also suspected of killing his father earlier in the day before the rampage at the university. Video shows a group of students balanced precariously on a building's open ledge as they sought to escape the gunman. Kozak was reportedly inspired by recent mass shootings in Russia. This is a former student of Charles University who was visiting his mother, her mother, who lives next to the school at the time of the shooting.
It looks like something unprecedented in the country, and I think everybody is completely shaken. For us, it's even worse because we're locals.
And in California, a federal judge blocked a state law that would have banned carrying firearms in most public spaces less than 2 weeks before it was due to go into effect. Governor Gavin Newsom signed the law in September, which would bar guns in parks, playgrounds, medical facilities, places of worship, banks, and on public transportation, among other places. Judge Cormac Carney, who was appointed by former President George W. Bush, said the law was, quote, repugnant to the Second Amendment. California's Attorney General Rob Bonta is appealing the ruling. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Christmas has been canceled in Bethlehem. As the death toll tops 20,000 in Gaza, we begin today's show in the occupied West Bank. Yes, in the city of Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus Christ. The Christmas season is normally a festive time in Bethlehem, but not this year, as church leaders have canceled public Christmas festivities, citing Israel's devastating attack on Gaza. This is the Reverend Isaac Munther, the Palestinian pastor of a landmark Lutheran church in Bethlehem. He addressed his congregation earlier this month in front of a nativity scene with the figure of Jesus Christ in a keffiyeh surrounded by rubble.
Christmas is a ray of light and hope from the heart of pain and suffering. Christmas is the radiance of life from the heart of destruction and death. In Gaza, God is under the rubble. He's in the operating room. If Christ were to be born today, he would be born under the rubble. I invite you to see the image of Jesus in every child killed and pulled from under the rubble, and every child struggling for life in destroyed hospitals, and every child in incubators. Christmas celebrations are canceled this year, but Christmas itself is not and will not be canceled, for our hope cannot be canceled.
That was the Reverend Isaac Munther, the Palestinian pastor of a landmark Lutheran church in Bethlehem. He spoke in front of a nativity scene with the figure of Christ surrounded by rubble, the baby Jesus. Earlier this week, Pope Francis accused Israel of committing terrorism in Gaza after an Israeli sniper shot dead two women, an elderly woman and her adult daughter, who had tried to save her mother at a Catholic church in Gaza City where they had sought refuge. It was the Holy Family Parish Church. Politico reports Israel recently attacked a church and a convent in Gaza, even though congressional staffers in Washington had urged Israel to protect the religious sites and gave them the coordinates of the churches. We go now to Bethlehem, where we're joined by the Reverend Mitri Raheb. He's president of Dar al-Kalima University in Bethlehem, Palestinian Christian theologian who's authored many books, including Decolonizing Palestine, The Land, The People, The Bible. It's hard to say Merry Christmas to you, Reverend Professor Dr. Mitri Raheb, but I will ask you how you're observing Christmas this year. Talk about Bethlehem.
You know, it's a very sad Christmas. I don't think in my entire life I experienced so much sadness, but also so much anger about what's happening in Gaza. As you said, the festivities were canceled in Bethlehem. So you don't have Christmas lights. You don't have Christmas tree in Bethlehem. There are no tourists coming because of the war. And the people are not up for celebrations because our people in Gaza, but not only our people in Gaza, also our people in the West Bank. We here in the West Bank, we experiencing apartheid, colonization by Jewish settlers, the death tolls, as you said, 20,000 in Gaza, but also even in the West Bank in the hundreds, and also the detainees, Palestinian detainees within these 75 days in the West Bank are over 3,000.
You have said that the story of Christmas, the story of the birth of Jesus, is more relevant now than ever, even though you will not be having festivities around this.
Correct, because the Christmas story actually is a Palestinian story par excellence. It talks about a family in Nazareth, in the north of Palestine, that is ordered by an imperial decree of the Romans to evacuate to Bethlehem, to go there and register. And this is exactly what our people in Gaza has been experiencing these 75 days. It talks about Mary, the pregnant woman, on the run, exactly like 50,000 women in Gaza who are actually displaced. Jesus was born actually as a refugee. There was no place at the inn for him to be born. So he was put in a manger. And this is exactly what also the kids that are coming to life these days in Gaza are experiencing. You know, most of the hospitals are damaged, out of service. And so there is no delivery places for all of these pregnant women in Gaza. And then you have the bloodthirsty Herod that ordered to kill the kids in Bethlehem to stay in power. And in Gaza, over 8,000 kids, they have been murdered for Netanyahu to stay in power. And you have this message that the angels declared here, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, which was actually a critique of the empire, because glory belongs to the Almighty and not to the mighty. And the peace that Jesus came to proclaim is not the peace, the Pax Romana, the peace that is based on subjugation and military oppression, but on human dignity, equality, and justice. And this is actually what we call for. And I have to say, I find it really a shame that that in this season, where every church hears these words, peace on earth, that the United States is vetoing even a ceasefire. It's a shame.
I wanted to ask you about this report in Politico. Congressional staff tried to protect Gazan churches by sending locations to Israel. That's the headline. Now, you're in Bethlehem in the occupied West Bank, and this is about Gaza. The Israeli military received and confirmed the coordinates of the church and covenant in Gaza, both of which aid groups say were later struck by rockets and snipers. It goes on to say the Holy Family Church in Gaza was struck last weekend. The location of the church was included on a list of coordinates provided to the Israeli military by aid organizations and staffers on Capitol Hill in an effort to protect those sheltering there. We reported in the last few days, among others, about the mom, the elderly mother and her daughter, who were sheltering at the Holy Family Church. This is what the Pope referred to when he talked about Israel engaging in terrorism. First, the mom was hit. The daughter carries her, and then she's hit. This is Pope Francis speaking on his 87th birthday at the Vatican Sunday.
Yes.
And let us not forget our brothers and sisters suffering from war in Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, and other conflict zones. May the approach of Christmas strengthen our commitment to open paths of peace. I continue to receive from Gaza very serious and painful news. Unarmed civilians are being bombed and shot at. And this has even happened inside the Holy Family Parish compound, where there are no terrorists, but families, children, and sick people with disabilities, and nuns. A mother and her daughter, Miss Nahida Khalil Antan and her daughter Samar Kamal Antan were killed and others wounded by the snipers as they went to the bathroom. The house of Mother Teresa's nuns was damaged. Their generator hit. Some say it's terrorism. It's war. Yes, it's war. It's terrorism. That is why Scripture says that God stops war, breaks bows, and breaks spears. Let us pray to the Lord for peace.
So that's the Pope speaking on his 87th birthday. I want to go on with this Politico piece. It says a church and a convent were struck in Gaza, listed among Christian facilities congressional staffers had flagged to Israeli authorities for protection, according to a series of emails from October. The emails, which were obtained by Politico, show an increasingly frenzied back and forth between Catholic Relief Services, one of the largest Christian aid organizations in Gaza, and Senate staff over an effort to get a commitment from Israel to avoid targeting a number of buildings where its staff and civilians were sheltering. They would ultimately be attacked. Reverend Mitri Raheb, your response.
You know, Israel have been attacking churches, mosques, hospitals, schools, universities. Believe it or not, 11 universities were destroyed in this war. Over 200 schools were destroyed. Most of the hospitals, except nine, are out of service right now because of Israeli attacks on them. But let's come to the churches. You know, this is not the first attack that happened last Saturday that the Pope talked about. Because the first attack on a Christian institutions happened to the Ahli Hospital, the so-called Baptist hospitals that belong actually to the Anglican Church. And then Israel had an airstrike on the Greek Orthodox Church, St. Perfurius, where they destroyed fully the assembly hall of that church, where 50 Christians were having refuge, 20 were killed, and 14 were injured. And then Israel destroyed a brand new state-of-the-art Arab Orthodox cultural and social center. It costed $6 million. It was inaugurated just a few months ago, and it was made to rubbles. It doesn't exist anymore. You cannot see it anymore. And then Israel attacked the Rosary Sister, another Catholic school. This last week they attacked, and the Pope spoke about it, actually a rehabilitation center for children with disability that is run by the Sisters of Mother Teresa. And they attacked again last week the Ahli Hospital that is now almost out of service, beside the sniper killing the older woman with her daughter within the Holy Family compound. And you know what? When some other parishioners in that compound wanted to go out to help them and to save them, Israel launched a missile on them, and 10 people from that parish were injured in that missile attack. I'm on daily basis in contact with those two parishes to see how they are doing. And I tell you, just a few hours ago, I received again another cry for help that that compound, the Holy Family compound, is surrounded by Israeli tanks, and Israeli snipers are all around on the rooftops of the neighboring buildings. And this is just 2 days before Christmas. These are the Christmas gifts of Israel for the Christian community in Gaza. And I fear that this is the end of the Christian presence in Gaza. And you know, the Christian presence in Gaza is a 2,000 years old presence. I mean, these are not new converts. Christianity came to Gaza already in the first century. And throughout the last 20 centuries, there was a living Christian work there, and actually an affluent Christian community in Gaza. And I think this community is going to be extinct because of Israel war on Gaza. 3% of the Christian community in Gaza was murdered in these 75 days, 3%.
I wanted to play for you, and we played this earlier in the week, the deputy mayor of Jerusalem, Fleur Hassan Nahum, recently appearing on British news program LBC and claiming, in fact, there are no Christians in Gaza.
Why is it necessary, what is reported, to start shooting, having snipers outside a church?
I saw the reports this morning. The church, there are no churches in Gaza, so I'm not quite sure where the report is talking about.
There's a Catholic church in there, isn't there, that is...
Yeah, unfortunately, there are no Christians because they were driven out by...
Respectfully, there are Christians because I spoke to an MP yesterday who has family members in the church who are Christians.
Well, I don't know what happened. I don't know who was attacked. I didn't see the report.
So that's the Jerusalem deputy mayor, Fleur Hassan Nahum, speaking on the British news program LBC. Your response, Reverend?
You know, I mean, we are unfortunately used to Israeli lies and fake news that they keep spreading. You know, how they cannot know that there are a Christian community in Gaza. I mean, you spoke before that they got the coordinate of the two churches, like they get also the coordinate of the hospitals. Remember, these Christians every year were applying for permits to come over Christmas to Bethlehem. So the Israeli authorities, they know everyone by name, by picture, by age, by gender. Again, but these are the lies. And you know why Israel can do all of this? Because they are impugned. Nobody, because of the American veto, brings them actually and make them responsible.